Welcome to the podcast of Sozo Church. For more information about Sozo, please visit sozosmtx.com.
Good morning. How are you all?
Good.
I'm excited to be up here today. I was talking with Anna just now. She's like, I haven't heard you preach in a long time. So I enjoy getting to share. So I'm honored to share this morning. I am going to be speaking on hope today. And hope is something that I feel like I'm called to carry. I feel like we're all called to carry. And so I'm going to share just a little bit of my journey with hope lately. And my desire is that by the end of this time, when we were in pre-service prayer, we were talking about flags and the flags that Mia did. Wasn't that beautiful? Thank you, Mia. I saw a victory flag waving, and it was a victory flag over every hopeless situation in this room.
Yeah.
And so my desire is that by the end of this, that something supernatural, a transaction would happen in your life, and that whatever hopeless thing is in your life right now, you would be walking out waving a victory flag, knowing that there is hope over that situation. So this past summer, Joel and I, we took a sabbatical. So many of y'all gave generously so that we could do that. It was amazing. We saw different national parks and spent time at Disneyland. Joel and I got away, just the two of us. We got to spend time with family graduation, some time at the beach. It was awesome. It was 6 weeks of like fun, packed, nonstop. We came back from sabbatical and we're like, I think we need a vacation. But we were, our goal was to be filled up in our cups just with our kids and together. So it was an amazing time. Also in that time, I don't know about you, but if you get a chance to like slow down for a little bit and finally like just, you know, whenever you're in a fast schedule, you just wake up and it's like you're just taking care of the things and you're kind of pushing aside things that maybe need some attention, but you're like, I'll get to that. Well, we finally got time to like slow down and give some attention. And I, in that time, I would say I slipped into a deep hopelessness. And it was this crazy tension of like, these are amazing times. But as I processed some disappointment, Joel and I have been married for almost 18 years, an amazing marriage. But you know, married for 18 years, things happen and things go certain ways that you don't think that they were going to go. And then you have three kids and you remodel a house, you sell a house, you build a house, you sell a house, you buy another house, you know, all those things. You remodel another house and then you do another house. You know, I'm an interior designer also. And so so lots of things. And life just, you know, ministry, we've been in ministry. We met when I was 20 and we've been, I'll be 40 in February. So almost 20 years of ministry together, and things haven't always gone the way that we had hoped. And so there's some disappointment there. And so this time was a time for me where I just started like processing. And Joel was like, are you really doing this right now? Like, we were on the vacation of a lifetime. And I'm like, I can't. I'm like, every time we got alone, I would just like, blah, 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 you know? And he'd be like, oh Lord, here we go. And it was like this wave that he just kept beating against. And bless him. He's like, I'm with you, babe, you know? But I was really wrestling with hopelessness as I looked at disappointment. And in the middle of sabbatical, our good friend Muzz called us, and we were processing on the phone with him. And I was just kind of saying, like, I'm just disappointed of this, and what if my life doesn't go this way, and I really want these dreams, and Joel wants these dreams, and how are we going to make it work? And I'm, like, looking at it from every angle. And he just stopped me, and he goes, Lauren, it's all about faith. He said, it's just faith. You just walk the journey in faith, and you trust that God will work it all out for your good. And in that moment, something shifted for me. That was about halfway through, and then we had the rest of the time, and I processed some more. And then whenever we finally got back home, and I was in my prayer chair, I heard the Lord say, you need to get back to hope. You need to get back to hope. And in my processing and in my disappointment, I had become hopeless, and I was in this place, but I had like clarity, like the cloud finally lifted, and I was like, I need hope again. But I actually had an answer, I actually had a direction, and I decided in that moment, I'm going to get back to hope. I'm going to look at these things in my life through a lens of hope. And where you lack faith or trust, you will lack hope. Where you lack faith, you will lack hope. And if you look at even those areas of our lives where we lack faith and we lack hope, oftentimes that's connected to sin patterns. Because if you look at a moment in your life before you sin, if you look at like a certain situation and you go back one step, you can look at the decision that led you to that, and it's probably hopelessness. I don't have hope that this situation will change. I don't have hope that this is going to look differently. I don't have hope that I'm going to be free of this thing. I don't have hope that this disappointment's going to be lifted. So therefore, I make this decision to move away from God instead of into God. And we're all faced with that decision. And it's a choice. It's a choice that we make to choose hope or to not choose hope. 2 Corinthians 3, 8 and 12 says, "Yet how much more radiant is this new and glorious ministry of the Spirit that shines from us," talking about the new covenant. "So then, with this amazing hope living in us, we step out in freedom and boldness to speak the truth." Colossians 1, 27 says, "Christ in me is the hope of glory." And as I read through this scripture, I thought, oh my gosh, hope is not something out there. Hope is something in me. Hope is not a new job. It's not a cure for that illness. It's not a better marriage. It's not a new house. It's not breakthrough in this crazy schedule. Hope is in me. I cannot look for it outside of me. And whenever I realize hope is actually in me, it's a person living in me. I turn into that thing and I grow in intimacy with that thing, and then hope comes out of me. Amen. So then when I get the new job, it's like I had hope and I actually attracted that thing. When we have hope, we actually attract the things that we're hoping for. But if we go after the things that we're hoping for without realizing that it's in me first, we will always be disappointed because those things will not satisfy. Your new job, it will not satisfy. I've had so many opportunities. I am like I just want the next new thing, and discontentment is like hard for me, you know, because I'm a visionary. So I'm like, I want a new house. I want a new this. I want something pretty here, and new things and old things I can make new. And when I put my hope in those things, I am so disappointed when they don't happen. And I've been on this journey. We buy houses, and there's been a few houses that I've had my heart on, and I feel like this really shifted for me a few months ago, like back in October, when there was this house I really wanted, and I said, "Lord, would you hold that house for me? We don't have the money for it right now, but would you hold it for me?" And I kept looking, and it was like not selling, and then the price dropped, and I'm like, "Oh God, please hold it for me." And then I looked, and it sold. And I said, "God, you did not hold that for me. I asked you to hold it for me." This was a conversation with God. "You did not hold it for me. Do you not love me? You know the desires of my heart. I saw a whole story. I was like, I was going to buy that thing. I was going to renovate it. I was going to, you know, turn it into an Airbnb. And then it was going to be on social media. And it was just going to be this amazing story. And I'm like, you let it go, God. And I was disappointed. But in that moment, I realized that I could not cling to that thing, or I would be so resentful towards God. And that was the last thing I wanted, because I knew that that house was not the answer. The answer is my intimacy with God. And I didn't want that thing to come between us. And so I made the decision, I'm going to let that thing go. And I'm going to trust that he's going to bring something even better. And this is the anthem of Joel over me. He's going to bring something better. You just keep hoping. In 1 Peter 1, 3, it says, "God, through his mercy and Jesus' resurrection, has given us a new birth into a living hope." Hope is a person alive inside of you. I said that. But I realized at the end of sabbatical that hope is my call, that I am called to carry hope, and that I had to get back to my true self. Whatever is inside you will create an atmosphere around you. So if you have hope inside you, you'll create an atmosphere of hope. And a good way to gauge what lives inside of us is to look at the atmosphere around us. Are our homes homes of hope? How do your children look to the future? Do they look to the future with hope whenever they don't get what they want? I mean, I know kids are kids, you know. We don't give them the bike and they say, Mom, don't you know I wanted that bike and you didn't hold it for me and didn't give it to me. But a good gauge is to see, how do your children look to the future? What is the atmosphere of a home? What is the culture of your friendships? What is the conversation like? Do you look to the future? We should be the most hopeful people in the world. Our conversation should be sick with hope. It should be like, oh, people that don't have hope should be like, that's so gross. They're so ooey with hope. What is wrong with them? Don't they see reality? Right? We were watching Home Alone 2 last night, but one of my favorite scenes from Home Alone, have y'all already kicked off Christmas movies? We kicked it off last night. Yes, yes. Home Alone. I still remember the first time I saw that in the theaters. I think it was in 1992 or 3 in Houston on Thanksgiving. I remember that. But they're rushing out of the house and they're like rushing to go catch the plane, and Uncle Frank, you know, they go bump on a log. He's like, we're gonna be late. And Peter McAllister says, be positive, Frank. And he says, you be positive, I'll be realistic, you know? And so many times, you know, we can think that hope is optimism, you know? Like, oh, I'm just going to look at this thing from all the possible ways, and I'm just going to be positive about it. Hope is actually not optimism. Hope is a strong conviction in a person, and that person is Jesus, and he fulfills his promises, and he's not going to leave me high and dry. That's hope. It's not optimism. It's anticipation that the future will be better than the present. So whenever everyone around us is saying, I'm going to be realistic, you can say, I'm going to have hope. And it may seem ridiculous, but I'm going to hope in the person of Jesus. Hope is crucial for healthy human existence. It's crucial. If we don't have hope, we spiral down. We need hope. That's the reason why political campaigns can be built on one word, hope, because people are so desperate for it. They're so desperate. And the thing is that politics doesn't carry hope. A president, they can carry the person of hope, but they are not hope. We actually offer something, us believers, with Jesus living in us, more powerful than what a government can offer to a whole nation. More powerful than what a medical discovery can offer to a sick person. You carry it inside of you as you interact in the grocery store, at your work, with your family. You are hope. It's a deep, really tight, and that tension that happens, and when it snaps, the cord, the kavaz, and that is what hope is. Hope is that cord of tension in our lives. It's the waiting until the release happens. That's what hope is. And so many times when we're in the tension of the waiting, the cord of our life, we say, this is too much to bear, and we give up. And we don't let the breakthrough happen, and we lose hope. But whenever we wait on the Lord, we wait in this expectation that I'm going to wait, I'm going to wait, I'm going to hold, I'm going to hold, I'm going to hold until God brings the release. And it's such a beautiful thing. Haven't you seen someone waiting in that kavah tension? When you're like, wow, that's amazing. Like, all the world has walked out on them, and they are still hopeful. That spouse walked out on them. That job didn't come through. That diagnosis that was we were not wanting came through, but yet they still are hopeful. It's supernatural. It's supernatural. It's not something that the world offers. So 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18 says, no wonder we don't give up, for even though our outer person gradually wears out, our inner being is renewed every single day. Praise God. Yeah. Even as our outer being, can you like, think about as you age, like this thing is melting to the ground. Daily, I'm like, was just a few years ago. So, but inside, it is rising up daily. It is renewed. It's not wearing out. Oh my gosh, can you imagine being on your deathbed, being the most hopeful? You're like, this thing is flopping, but I, inside, am as alive and hopeful as the day that I was as a baby. Like, I am renewed every day. I think about, like, the inside of us is like that hopeful child that is like never disappointed, always looking for the new thing, always full of wonder. So our inner being is renewed every single day. We view our slight, short-lived troubles in the light of eternity. We see our difficulties as a substance that produces for us an eternal, weighty glory far beyond all comparison, because we don't focus our attention on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but the unseen realm is eternal. And the key is we do not focus our attention. It's a choice where you focus your attention. That's hard. It's hard, isn't it? Because you're in that moment and these things are going on around us and we see the natural, and it's a choice where we focus our attention in that moment. But it says, as we focus our attention, we're renewed. Our inner being is being renewed as we focus our attention on Jesus. And like I said, it is Jesus, but it's Jesus in here. So, what agreements are we going to make when we face disappointment? Because I think disappointment, it's like you're looking at the world around and you're like, man, that's really disappointing. It's really disappointing that I didn't get that house that I wanted. I didn't get that job. I didn't get that teacher I wanted. I didn't get that breakthrough I wanted. It's really disappointing. What are we going to do? Well, Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred. And I just think God put that in the Bible because he knows the effects that hope deferred has on us. He knows. It's like whenever you see your kids and they really wanted something. This has been, I think, for me and Joel, walking with our oldest through life as she ages. She is kind of like me, where she's a half glass empty person. Our second born is a half glass full, like glass half full. So she's like, yes. And then, you know, me and Eliza can kind of be like, we look at things from every angle and analyze everything. So I think, you know, whenever we look at things and we walk through stuff with our kids, we see how God looks at us. And he knows that it makes our hearts sick. He knows. And he doesn't want to torture us. Sometimes we think that he can torture, he wants to torture us, but he doesn't want to. And we saw this a few years ago with our daughter, and she was wanting to do something. And we were trying to figure out plans, and so our answer was, I don't know if we can do that right now, but we'll try to make it work. And so then she had like this really sad look on her face, which probably is the look that I get on my face too. And so she had this really sad look on her face, and I was like, what's wrong, you know? And pretty amazing that I think she was like 9 at the time, had the self-awareness to say, well, I don't want to hope for that thing because I don't want to be disappointed. And it's like, wow, isn't that us? Like, I don't want to hope for that thing because I don't want to be disappointed. And God's like, I know. I know, because it makes your heart sick. It makes your heart sick. And I don't want your heart to be sick. And so what do we do? What do we do when we're in that moment and we're like, I don't want to hope for that thing again, God, because I was disappointed in that time. I don't want to hope for it. And He gives us a choice. We can either draw near to him or we can push him away. And so in that moment, I said, I know. I know it can be disappointing if it doesn't happen. I'm going to do whatever I can to make this thing happen for you, but I don't want you to pull away from me in relationship right now. I don't want you to pull away. And so we have that choice to push away or pull away from God, which leads to isolation, it leads to hiding, it leads to shame, and it leads to addiction because we're disconnected from God. Or we can draw near, which secures us, it frees us, it produces greater hope and self-control. And it's in that moment that we can decide, I'm going to pull near to God or I'm going to push him away. And what follows after is can be life-changing. Because you think, like when I was in that place this summer, I was like, I knew for the sake of my future, the sake of my destiny, I cannot stay in this hopeless place. And I talked with people and I shared with our team and I shared with friends and I think some of them were scared for me because they were like, oh Lord, what is she gonna do, you know? Because I was really in this hard place and I saw people around me that were dependent on me not staying in hopelessness. In my relationship with the Lord, my children, my friends, everything was dependent on me not staying in hopelessness. And so we have that choice. So we're in that moment and we're like, okay, God, I want to choose hope, but how do I do it when everything around me just seems cloudy or confusing or hopeless? Hebrews 6, 18 through 19 in the Passion Translation says, and now we run into his heart to hide ourselves in his faithfulness. This is where we find his strength and comfort, for he empowers us to seize what has already been established ahead of time, an unshakable hope. We have this certain hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor holding our souls to God himself. Gosh, that's so powerful. We run into his heart and hide ourselves in his faithfulness. So when we're in that place and we're like, I think I want to choose hope, but I don't know how. How do we do it? You look back to his faithfulness. You look at where has he been faithful in my life before? And maybe it was a small thing. Maybe it was that, I mean, I used to wrestle so much with not being able to sleep at night. Like since I was a child, I had the hardest time falling asleep. And I used to like struggle with it. And Joel and I have prayed through it and worked through it. And it's like even in those kind of moments where you look back and you're like, God, I remember last night you gave me sleep. I didn't stay awake all night long. I actually slept in there. I'm going to cling to your faithfulness that you actually are going to lead me into sleep tonight. I mean, that's so small, but it's things like that. It's all those little things in our lives where we can choose to agree with hope or we can choose to agree with disappointment, and that then shapes the story of our life.
That's awesome.
It then shapes the outcome of our life, and so it's in those little things. It's in those little things that we choose hope, that we choose to look to his faithfulness. And maybe we don't feel like God has ever been faithful to us. There are countless stories in the Bible of his faithfulness. You have people all around you that God has been faithful to. Cling to their story. The breakthrough that you gave through that for that person, I'm clinging to that. You've been faithful to her, and she's no greater than me. You love her just like me. I believe you love me. I'm going to cling to her hope. And I'm going to go to her, and I'm going to say, I need you to pray for me, and I need your hope. I need you to lift me up because I don't have breakthrough. I don't have any evidence of breakthrough, but you do. I need it, right? So we cling to his faithfulness. And his past faithfulness motivates us to see the future separate from our circumstances. So God, you've been faithful. We've paid the bills every month. We've never gone hungry. I believe you're going to do it again. My kids have never gone without at Christmas time. You're going to do it again. I've never had to sleep outside. You're going to do it again. So there's a mindset that's necessary. And we talk about this a lot at Sozo. And it's a scarcity versus abundance mindset. Right? There's a difference when we have a scarcity mindset or an abundance mindset. And the recognition of abundance fills us with hope. So either we can believe that we're lacking, we can believe we don't have enough, we can believe that God is not going to provide, we can believe lack, or we can have an abundant mindset. There's more than enough to go around. There's more than enough energy, money, time, resource. There's more than enough. We are connected to the source, and that source actually lives inside of me. I have more than enough. And so I look at every scary situation with an abundance mindset. that I'm going to have more than enough. And I'm going to make a decision. I'm not going to waver from that. Joel and I, we were watching on the way home from Houston, Thanksgiving. We're watching Tony Robbins, and I don't know if any of y'all know Tony Robbins or follow his stuff or anything. I know very little about him, but it was like this little snip, and this guy was asking him about his success and how he approaches the day, and he's like incredible. He's changed a lot of people's lives with the hope that he carries inside, and one thing he said was, I don't negotiate with myself. Once I've made a decision, I do it, and I don't negotiate. Do I want to, whatever, hard thing? Do I want to do that hard thing? No, but I've already decided I'm going to do it. I'm a man of integrity. I said I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And I think that's how it is with hope. I've decided I'm going to be a person of hope. I'm not going to negotiate whenever the circumstances around me are not good. I'm not going to negotiate with that. I've made the decision to have hope. And that's what I'm sticking to. And that's what the world wants. Your integrity to have hope, no matter what, will change the world. Say, I lack no good thing. No good thing. Amen. Ephesians 1:18 says, I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is, the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. God illuminates the eyes of our imagination with light. It's on the screen of our imaginations that we play out our lives, right? So some of us need God to illuminate our imaginations where we have been entertaining hopeless thoughts, where we've been entertaining discouragement, where we've been entertaining disappointment. We need God to illuminate the imagination so that we can actually see from a hope-filled perspective. It's something that he has to do. Because we can try and we can muster it, but we have to say, God, I need you to illuminate my imagination where I have had disappointing thoughts, where I've had hopelessness. I need you to illuminate it so that I can actually see the hope that you've put inside me. On the screens of our imaginations, we play out our futures. When we have anxiety about the future, we are often imagining a future without God. But when the light of God illuminates our imaginations, we look to the future with hope. And this is where I want to land today. I feel like we need to put on a lens of hope. We need to ask God to illuminate the eyes of our imagination. How many of us need that?
Yes.
I think we all probably have situations in our lives as we enter back into the holiday season, maybe we came out of Thanksgiving and maybe some of those situations were not ideal. Maybe there was some disappointment. Maybe some things that we wanted to look a certain way and they didn't. And we have some hopelessness. I think we probably all have some hopelessness in one area of our life. Maybe if it's our finances, our relationships, our health, our spiritual walk. And I think God wants to illuminate your imagination today so that you can have hope in that area. Yeah, so I'm going to invite actually the band to come back up here. And as I spoke, you probably had some things in your mind that you're like, I need God to shift this thing for me. And I know that if it doesn't shift for me, that thing could not be good. I need to see the shift in my life. And I think it's a supernatural transaction that takes place. That whenever we humbly say, God, I need to get back to hope in this situation, he says, okay, I'm going to come in. I'm going to illuminate so that you can actually see the truth about this situation. And I'm going to exchange your disappointment for my hope. That's what he came for. So that we don't have to walk around in hopelessness. right? So why don't you stand with me? And I just want to say that if there's those areas in your life that there is hopelessness, there is no shame. I think the enemy right now where you're like, oh yeah, I'm pretty hopeless about my health. And God has given me plenty of opportunities to get well or to make different choices. And I haven't. And I'm just hopeless with it. There's no shame. He wants to give us second chance and third chance and fourth chance and fifth chance. He's so hopeful for you. He's so hopeful for you. That when we're hopeless for ourselves, he's so hopeful for you. So I want you to take that thing that maybe it's been there since childhood. That I'm just awkward and I don't fit in and I don't really have friends and I'm just hopeless that I'm ever going to have a group of friends. Whatever it is, I just want you to take it, and I just want you to hold it in your hands. Like it's not even a part of you. Begin to see this thing as separate from you, because it's not who you are. I just want you to lay it at his feet. Baby that you're longing for, that job, that shift, and even just depression when you wake up in the morning and you feel heavy. Just lay it at his feet. It's like, this isn't mine to carry. This isn't mine. I ask, Lord, that you would illuminate the eyes of my imagination to see my future differently. Would you hope? Would you just go there with him? Would you let him begin to paint new pictures in your mind of your future? Do you see yourself surrounded by friends laughing? Do you see yourself in your old age, healthy and rolling around on the floor with your grandkids? Do you see yourself hosting family dinners in that house you've been longing for? Do you see yourself fully alive in that job, that career that you want? Do you see yourself married? Do you see yourself with children? Do you see a world without war and famine? Do you see a school system that's safe for kids? Do you see an entertainment? I'm seeing the Seven Mountains right now. Like, do you see movies that are wholesome? What do you hope for? What do you long for? Where do you need a shift? Give it to him. Let him paint a new picture in your mind. And Lord, I declare victory over every area. Victory over these hopeless situations. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. You came to a hopeless world. You took off your armor. You came as a baby. You lived among us. You knew disappointment. You knew abandonment. You knew betrayal. You knew hunger. You knew longing. You knew loss. And you chose it so that we could have hope. And so, Holy Spirit, I invite you right now to come and minister. Would you come and minister to our hearts where we're longing? Lord, those places where you've been faithful, would you bring it to our minds? Would you bring it to our minds so that we can hold on to your faithfulness and have hope for the future? Hope. Let hope arise in this room. Let hope arise in our hearts. Would your hope break through those hard areas in our hearts? And I can't make you hope. It's a choice that you have to make. There's a story of some Navy SEALs. Joel has shared this story before. There are some hostages being held in a room, and they had been beaten and abused and neglected, and they were all huddled in this corner, and these Navy SEALs came in with their armor and their guns, and they threw open the door, and the light was shining on these hostages, and they were afraid, and they had their guns, and they said, "Come with us. We're here to rescue you. Come with us." And they wouldn't get up because their captors had armor and guns and shouted loudly at them, so they were afraid. So then the Navy SEALs realize that they're afraid, so they begin taking off their armor. They take off their helmet, they take off their guns and everything. They get down in the corner and they crouch down by the scared prisoners to show their humanity, to say, "I'm just like you. You can trust me." And that's what Jesus is doing. He's getting down. He has gotten down into our humanity, and he said, "You can trust me. You can hope again. Would you give me your hand and let me lead you into freedom?" So I want to invite the ministry team up to the front. And if you have that area where you need someone just to partner with you for breakthrough, I want to invite you to come down. And these people want to pray with you and partner with you to believe with you. Maybe you're in a place where you're like, "I don't have hope. I don't think I can believe for that thing." Come down and let them impart their hope to you. So Lord, I bless my brothers and sisters. I bless this family. I thank you, Lord, for your hope. I thank you, God, for the breakthrough that has come in people's lives recently. I thank you, Lord. We see you're breaking through. You have brought hope to so many people through breakthrough lately, and we just bless you for it, Jesus. And so I ask now, Lord, you would come and minister to us. Come and heal us. Come and restore back to us what is ours, the hope that dwells in us. In Jesus' name, amen.